Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, so we've got a lot to get to on the show today. You guys know it was a terrible Tuesday. The Commanders lost, and I felt terrible. But today, we officially turn the page, flip the script, and we will not focus on that defeat to the Kansas City Chiefs anymore. We will look ahead to this Sunday, Washington taking on the Seattle Seahawks. But it is a Wizards Wednesday, and joining us right now, the play-by-play voice of the Wiz, Dave Johnson from the radio party that you can hear on The Fan. What's up, Dave? How are you?
We're having some fun with this young bunch. Could have won a couple more games, but again, we're not in a season where we're going to judge it by results, but we're already, quite frankly, encouraged by what some of these young players have done in their second year. And oh, by the way, Trey Johnson, the first rookie to have 15 or more points in his first three games, first Wizards rookie since a guy named Earl Monroe back in 1967 when they were the Baltimore Bullets. So we lost last night in overtime to the Sixers. That's not a good feeling. Again, this team is wants to win. It's not about, oh, well, we lost. That last night was painful. But with that, you get right back at it, and now we got to go to Oklahoma City today face the defending champs.
Yeah, and they're undefeated on the season. But last night's game, Dave, it was a roller coaster. And I got a buddy, Brian, that watches every game. And I felt like I had to call him after the game and talk him down off the ledge a little bit, because that was actually a masterclass in tanking. We had a great performance by our young guys, and then C.J. McCollum and Chris Middleton tried to win the game for us, and they lost. I'll take that, because the goal for this season is not winning games but building up the youth.
Yeah, but I mean, again, they wanted to win last night's game. It was a Charlotte, which is another young good team. Con Knipple is come out and shown that he's worthy of the draft status he had. The Hornets had the Sixers up by 11 points and lost in overtime. So I'm not saying, okay, well, then that's excusable. But, the learning lesson from last night is, okay, we've got a new group. We didn't manage possessions well.
Yeah.
We were defensively so strong. It wasn't about, tanking or, the shot we could have won at the end of the game. Middleton makes it 9 out of 10 times. Well, unfortunately, didn't make that. I was an elbow jumper. It was a well-designed play. So, for some of these guys, we've not been in this many overtime situations, and they didn't manage the lead well. There was a lot of weight possessions down the stretch, and that's not a young or old or whatever. You didn't do what you were got you to the lead, and that that's an NBA. No lead is safe in the NBA. We've always said that. I mean, obviously there's some leads that are safe, but and they got smacked last night with a Sixers team. I mean, it made us realize how that's a veteran team when Kelly Oubre, for goodness sakes, is in his 11th season. It seemed like just yesterday he was a rookie with the Wizards, and now he's an 11-year vet.
Yeah, I just, Dave, I think my point is, and I told this to my friend, this is not the season to complain about overtime losses. That's part of the process. How great was it, the performances that we got, like you said, from Trey Johnson and Keyshawn George?
Yeah, no, I mean, one day the Wizards will get to situations where you'll rue that overtime loss and say we could use that win in November or October, in April when you're trying to make the playoffs. So it would sting more if we felt like we were going to be a playoff team this year. Again, that doesn't mean you don't build a winning culture unless you're learning how to win. But if we can just look at what our roster is comprised of, when you have eight guys under 21 years of age, this is not a championship roster right now.
Dave Johnson with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. So you're heading to take on the defending champs, the OKC Thunder. I want to get your perspective on how what they have done mirrors what Washington is trying to do.
Well, it's a mirror image where, again, you need to draft well, but you need to develop these players. Now, is Keyshawn George already better than he was last year? Yes, and he had a 34-point performance against Dallas, and you know suddenly he's in the scouting report for Charlotte on Sunday, and he was having trouble with Charlotte's physicality. He bounces back last night with a 20-point performance. Those are the and not only just the 20-point performance, but oh by the way, he was the guy that was thrown out there to guard VJ Edstrom, who had been averaging 24 points a game coming in last night, another talented rookie, and he didn't have a shot until the second half. Now I think he still finished now with 20 points or whatever, but the point being, Keyshawn George has had to guard Giannis. He has had to guard Anthony Davis. He is giving the assignments that, quite frankly, we gave Bilal Coulibaly. Was always, Giannis anointed Bilal a couple years ago. You got to watch this kid because he knows how to play defense. Quite frankly, we missed Bilal Sunday against Charlotte because he shut down as much as you can shut down LaMelo Ball. We didn't have him, and LaMelo not only scored, but he got his teammates involved, and the Wizards ended up losing to the Hornets. So, this is the exciting part that already we're seeing, growth from guys. Alex Saar, he's been arguably the most consistent player the first four games. So already I'm excited just because he's coming off an all-rookie first-team year, and he's coming back facing the challenges he's faced in the first four games, including, Anthony Davis is involved in that mix, and he does well.
Dave Johnson with us here. And Dave, I want to ask you about the association as a whole, some national NBA topics. I'll start with Michael Jordan, who it's so cool to hear from him now Tuesdays on the NBA on NBC with his conversation with Mike Tirico. Is there a story, is there a memory, a moment that you can tell us about when Michael Jordan represented the Washington Wizards? My favorite part about going to games as a child.
Well, his quest for excellence did not take a day off, and that's why I still believe he's the greatest player that we've seen. And again, you just look at what he's done in terms of leading the Chicago Bulls, different teams to titles, and how he made players around him better. And I still remember his waiting on the bus as he and Teron Lu were in shooting contest at the end of practice, and they would never end. And so we'd be waiting on the bus thinking we're supposed to be leaving, but the bus doesn't leave until Michael leaves. So that's what I remember about him. Also, as I've seen the interview with Mike Tirico, I'll just say right now, he's just a good guy, and he's very loyal to people that support him and help him, because let's face it, he was put into a stratosphere that he needed that strong upbringing he had to allow him to handle that. I think about a couple of years ago in Charlotte, and at that point he was the owner, one of the owners of the Bobcats, and I'm walking to the bus under the arena, And he's getting into his car, and we exchange glances, and I waved at him. He came over to me. I wasn't going to come over to him, bother him. He's getting, his I think his wife, and they were getting ready to leave. And he comes over to me and shakes my hand and just was asking how I was doing and, you know, good to see you. And that's the way he was. He remembers people that worked with him and I'm not saying we were not, close friends or whatever, but he's just that kind of first class guy.
Yeah, no, great story. The bus doesn't leave till Jordan gets on the bus. Dave, great stuff. And before I let you go, I have to ask you about the national topic right now with Chauncey Billups on leave, with Terry Rozier on leave. They're not going to be paid while they're on leave by their respective ball clubs. I mean, how terrible is this for the league, this ongoing investigation?
Well, I think it's not good, and it's not, every league has gotten some kind of association with betting companies, and that opens a whole other debate about these prop bets and the sports betting. It's no doubt concerning. The game that Terry Rozier was involved in, we thought the NBA had vetted that, but as Adam Silver, I think he made a great point that, as the NBA investigates something, they only have certain powers. When the government investigates something, they have the power of subpoena, and that's a big deal. And so I'm not saying that means Terry Rozier, is guilty. It just means that they're obviously looking at things a little tighter. It's just not good. And integrity of the game is first and foremost. It wasn't good when the Tim Donaghy referee stuff came up in the, that was 15 years ago or how long ago it was. And so this is, you just hope that this is not going to say, this guy was doing it or that guy was doing it. Or there's, the good thing about it is, or not good thing, but, the Jonte Taylor, the Raptors player, they do flag these things, and they are policing it, so hopefully that is a deterrent to any player that thinks they should, get involved in something they shouldn't be involved in. Quite frankly, they're going to get caught. It's not there's computers and there's mechanisms that can look at unusual betting patterns. And again, I'm just saying this from what I hear. I'm not an analyst or a gambling person, and I hope that's a deterrent. And I hope that we don't have other scandals or controversies like this involving, again, college players as well.
Yeah.
You go right down any sport. It's a concern, and you just hope the people that are properly policing it are doing that, because then it's also a concern for the betting companies, because the integrity of them, if this kind of stuff is going on, or if there's something going on that there's impacting people's ability to wager fairly, that's not good for them.
Yeah. Dave, really appreciate it. It's always fun to bring the radio party to AWOD Radio. Thanks for taking the time to join me.
All right, we'll be in Richmond on Thursday night. Thanks so much.
Yep, that is Dave Johnson. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for VCU basketball. You can hear every game right here, 9:10 a.m., 105.1 FM. And when we talk VCU basketball here on The Fan, it is presented by the Red Door Guys. And I love the work that Brian and Greg do with the Red Door Guys. They are proud to support AWOD Radio and VCU basketball. And we are doing an awesome promotion for VCU basketball and the Red Door Guys. We're giving away tickets. Not one, not two, not three. Four tickets to the season opener, the home opener, November 3rd, as the Rams take on Wagner. It's AWOD here, VCU Ram fans. The Red Door Guys are bringing out their black and gold uniforms, and they're giving away four tickets to the VCU basketball season opener, November 3rd. All you have to do is listen to AWOD Radio this Friday afternoon. Brian and Greg and the Red Door Guys, and your chance to win those tickets. Let's go VCU. And remember, if you need to sell your house fast in the Richmond area, call the Red Door guys. And for every property they buy, they donate $500 to the Children's Hospital of Richmond at VCU. I'm looking forward to the season getting started on Monday. We'll be on the call here with Robbie Robinson and Rodney Ashby. You'll hear me pregame and halftime as well. But it's time to go inside the mind of the NFL quarterback with QB IQ.
You know, that is my dream. That's what I want to be, and it's what I believe I am as a quarterback.
Being a professional quarterback is arguably the toughest job in sports, maybe the world.
Quarterback will say, "Hike." That's when the center puts the ball into the hands of the quarterback.
The most important position gets the most attention. We'll take a unique look at the best quarterbacks in the league each week.
It was just much better execution all the way around.
As we go through the lens of NFL quarterbacks with QB IQ.
All right, so we have to start with Jordan Love. And I really don't love Jordan Love, the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, but I've been impressed with him this season. Now, he's been inconsistent at times because I think a lot of people thought the way the Packers started the season that they'd be considered the best team in football right now, right? They destroyed the Lions and then demolished the Commanders. Then fell back down to earth with a loss to the Browns and then a tie to the Cowboys. But Jordan Love's gotten them together, and the boys are back, and the Pack have won three straight, and their most latest victory, I thought he outdueled Aaron Rodgers in this one. 29 of 37, three touchdowns, 360 yards, no picks, no sacks, no fumbles, and a QB rating of 134.2. One of the best that we've seen this season, not even the best for that weekend, though, but we honor you, Jordan Love, on QB IQ. Is it
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Obviously, I had no idea where the ball even went. Was hoping it, you know, nothing bad happened. And Tuck just saw the replay. Tuck made a great play. Obviously, to come back for the ball and then to get that yak, that's a big time play.
So Jordan Love and the Packers get the win over the Steelers, and they've got the Panthers coming up this weekend. I just. Look, when you look at Jordan Love and the numbers, they don't like they're not eye-popping. He's ninth in yards, 1,798. He's 11th in touchdowns with 13. But his completion percentage has been above average. He's averaging about 71% completion percentage. And his QBR is top five. And so it shows you he's really reading the game well, and he's finding his tight end, Tucker Graff, left and right, but he's not turning the ball over. And that's why he belongs in the conversation here, QBIQ, and possibly even MVP if the Packers keep winning games. I'm going to go to C.J. Stroud next and his performance against the San Francisco 49ers. Houston's back was against the wall. Felt like their season was on the line, and he converted for them. 30 of 39, 318 yards, two touchdowns, did have an interception, but he was able to work the ball down the field over and over again. I'll tell you, with C.J. Stroud, I never believed in a sophomore slump. But to me, this was a junior slump. This was a step back this season with the way the team started 0-3. I do feel like in the last few weeks, we've gotten back to the level of quarterback play that you need from C.J. Stroud. In the loss to Seattle, he had that game. I thought he should have ran for more yards. What did he do against San Francisco? He ran for more yards. This is a guy that has the ability to maneuver around the pocket and keep his eyes downfield or to run and pick up the first down with his legs. And like I said, 30 of 39, 77% completion percentage, and also ran to pick up a few third downs with a long 13-yard run to extend the drive and the win over San Francisco. C.J. Stroud, we honor you on QBIQ.
Yeah, I thought I played solid, you know. Thought I distributed the ball well, you know, in pressure situations, getting it out of my hand. I don't think we had any sacks today. So I think, you know, just me getting the ball in my hand on time definitely helped. Moving the pocket, you know. But, yeah, I would say I play solid. Always things to clean up. But, you know, I'm happy with, you know, how I played. And I'm always, you know, going to stay confident. And even when I lack confidence, like I was telling him outside, like, I got God confidence. You know, I'm not always going to be perfect. I'm not always going to be the best. But I will die on that field if I have to. I love playing this game. I respect this game, my preparation. I take it serious every week. And sometimes you just go lay an egg. So, well, I'm going to leave the pass in the past. But I know what I can do. I know I'm a top guy in this league when I'm rolling. So, but, you know, I just got to keep that going.
And, boy, you are rolling right now. So are the Texans, winning 3 of 4 to turn their season around. There is one thing, Jeremy, that's staring you in the face that is in common with every win versus every loss. The number, 75% completion percentage or higher. 50% in the loss to the Bucs. 46% in the loss to the Seahawks. In every win, 78%, 85%, 77%. He's been able to complete his passes. He's basically taking more of what the defense is giving him, I think, in those games, rather than forcing it downfield. Now, part of that is his defense has played better in some of those games, so he's not chasing points. But when C.J. Stroud gets that completion percentage over 75, his team has yet to lose a game this season. Of course, we'll go inside the mind of quarterback Patrick Mahomes almost every week on QBIQ. Jeremy, don't pull a clip for this week. I don't want to hear from Kermit the Frog after he beat Washington 28-7. Because, again, I didn't think he was that good in the game for the first half. And, yes, he caught fire in the third quarter, but our defense is awful. And we didn't play, you know, complimentary football. Like, he is consistently one of the most up-and-down GOATs of all time. But his highs, they're higher than, you know, quarterbacks we've ever seen in this league, because he can do all the off-script stuff, sidearm throws, you know, underarm throws, pitch pass. He'll find a way to get the ball to his receiver. He was 25 of 34 for 299 yards. And of course, he had those two picks and three sacks, but when his team needed him most, he delivered. We're going to close out QBIQ, though, by going inside the mind of Drake May. 32-13, Drake May whopped the Cleveland Browns with 282 yards, 18 of 24. Didn't have to throw the ball much. He ran for a good amount of yards. He was sacked 6 times, 5 of those by Myles Garrett. When you get back down, you get up again. And Drake May did, throwing 3 touchdown passes in the win. Here's Drake May.
I think we left some out there in the red zone. Shoot, that's good defense. You know, I thought we moved the ball well. Defense helped us out. They played a great game. So, yeah, I think we when they did force turnovers, we scored off them, which was good to see. I think we left some out in the red zone, but you know, we ran the ball, we threw it some, and we had the one turnover, me and the one with Travion at the end. So we got to learn from that. But yeah, they're a good defense. They're good up front. They get that for the passer, and I got to do a better job of getting the ball out and knowing the kind of what mode I'm in to get it out.
That was Drake May, and his defense has been playing their ass off. That's been the difference, I think, in the last 3 or 4 weeks for New England. Their defense is playing at the level that a defense does under Mike Vrabel, and the offense is certainly developing. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on... Welcome back! I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. This is Richmond's home for the most college football talk in town. And if you want UVA athletics, you got Who's Talking Monday nights with Frank Maloney and Jim Hobgood. And Jeremy's running the ones and twos, Jay Money. And I've got the notes from Who's Talking right here. It looks like they mapped out just how UVA can get into the CFP and what it would take for UVA to get to Charlotte for the ACC championship. Who's Talking UVA football? We are. Weekly now on AWOD Radio. Joining us on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, he covers UVA athletics. It's our buddy Preston Willett. What's up, Preston?
What's up, Adam? Good to be here again.
Absolutely. I mean, we promised we're going to bring you on every week while the UVA football team keeps winning. And how about that? The cardiac Cavs, regulation's not enough. They live for overtime.
Yeah, it's never enough for this team, man. It harks back to that 2017 that I feel like I have to keep referencing, because that was the last team that just every week it was 1 point or 2 points or 3 points or something like that. But this team's doing it in overtime. Only the second team in ACC history to win three overtimes in one season. The other team was that other team down in Blacksburg, Virginia Tech, back in 2012. So it has been a wild ride, to say the least, this year for this Cavalier team.
Preston Willett with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Writer for the Sabre and host of Who's On, the podcast. And UVA wins by an inch, but I know you answered the question, what's wrong with the offense? Because, I mean, it feels like the defense has saved their ass recently.
Yeah, the defense is, you know, they're kind of growing as the season has gone on, but the offense has regressed, and, there's no doubt about that. You know, at first it was like, all right, maybe that's a blip on the radar. Now it's kind of starting to become a trend for the offense, and it's really a nuance issue. There's no one thing. I know a lot of people want to point to Chandler Morse, being a little dinged up right now, his non-throwing shoulder. He injured that in the season opener against Coastal Carolina. That's certainly a part of it. Offensive line kind of has been up and down because of injuries. They had their worst game of the season against North Carolina, allowing 6 sacks. They'd only allowed 5 going into that game. And the run game just hasn't been able to kind of get some traction lately, which has meant that Virginia is not getting into rhythm early on in games. So that's kind of a combination of everything. And I love how, Tony Elliott put it this week, sometimes the penthouse and the outhouse are on the same floor. And that's kind of what it's been. They had this great offense to begin the season. Now they've kind of regressed. They think it's only a game of inches away from being there. I think maybe they don't get back to those highs that they had early in the season, but I think this week is definitely a good shot for them to kind of recover some of that offensive momentum they had.
Yeah, Cal just played at Virginia Tech, and that was a late one. Double overtime, Hokies won 42-34. So Virginia's got Cal coming up November 1st at Cal. And you got to take care of these road games, and the home games aren't going to be easy, but everything's still to play for. You got to be excited about that. With the offense, I think it stems with the offensive line playing better and getting at more of a consistent rushing attack, rolling, getting Jamari Taylor back over 100 yards here. But in terms of the ACC standings, how do you think things are going to play out right now with 4 games left for most of these teams?
It's tough because, this four-game stretch that Virginia has coming up at Cal, home against Wake Forest, at Duke, and Virginia Tech, this is a lot tougher than even just a couple weeks ago when I was sitting in your studio. It's a pretty tough stretch now for Virginia. Cal's kind of been the trap game that everyone refers to because of that West Coast travel. But Wake Forest coming back the next week, that's a really tough game now. Wake has played a lot better as of late, beat SMU last week, and then Duke is always a formidable team, especially being on the road there. And then and we keep talking about the boogeyman of Virginia Tech at the end of the season with the interim head coach. It'll be interesting. I think Virginia, they have to win out. Maybe they have to win out, but I think, you know, you can't lose, you know, a game and feel comfortable right now. So if you lose one this week at Cal, then it starts to feel a little uncomfortable, especially, you know, down the stretch, because there's a ton of teams kind of lurking there in that ACC title race. But I think in any week in the ACC, like Georgia Tech, they could go down some week. You know, they're unbeaten right now, but who knows what's going to happen. You know, we saw that with Miami and Louisville a few weeks ago, and, you know, Miami and Louisville are lurking, but who's to say that they're not going to suffer another setback? It's just ACC football, man. Like, you really never know. So it's a complete mystery who's going to get to Charlotte at the end of the day, but I think Virginia has a good shot right now if they just can fix some stuff offensively and take care of business the rest of the way.
Yeah, I hope Virginia doesn't fall into this, but I have got a ton of upsets going on this weekend in the ACC, and it might even start in Blacksburg with Virginia Tech against Louisville. They're playing a lot better. I do think SMU can absolutely beat Miami at home there. It's crazy to me. Miami's getting 12.5. SMU has been so much you know, they've got playmakers on that team. I think Duke could win at Clemson. And then I look and I say, NC State, Georgia Tech. NC State is playing for something here. They feel like they had a good season that should end in a bowl win this year with C.J. Bailey. But the last few weeks, they have not played the part, right? So I think they have a chance to upset Georgia Tech. I mean, everything is still open. It could end up being a two-loss team into the championship. You never know.
Yeah, no, that's for sure on the table. And I go back to last year. A lot of people were saying, you know, this week, if a Virginia team with a loss in the ACC championship game, would they be good enough to make the college football playoff? Well, it's kind of a similar resume to what SMU had last year, if you go back and look at it. So I think everything is still on the table. You know, two teams could make the college football playoff from the ACC. Three teams could make it. It just kind of depends how this rest of the season falls out, but I expect some more kind of ACC carnage, if you will.
Yeah, and my take will always be you cannot penalize a team for losing a championship game that other teams didn't play in, a.k.a. Notre Dame, join the conference or get the heck out of here. It's so annoying. They do this every single year. One thing for Virginia to keep winning games, keep winning the turnover battle, right?
Yeah, no, they've been great in turnovers this year. They're actually forcing turnovers, which is something that we really haven't seen under the defense coordinator John Rudzinski in his 4 years in Charlottesville. That's been huge. But just as importantly, they don't turn the ball over themselves. I think they have not lost a fumble yet this season. They're one of very few teams to do that. They've also, you know, Chandler Morris has a couple interceptions here and there. The one against UNC, that was a really bad interception. We'll be honest about that. But that was his first one since the Florida State game. So generally they keep control of the ball, and that's kind of what UNC's problem was. You know, they played a better game against UVA, but they made the mistakes. Virginia did not. And that's why Virginia won. Same thing with Louisville, too. So if Virginia can keep avoiding making mistakes like that, they've got a good shot in any game, even if the offense is, you know, not at its best.
Preston, really appreciate you taking the time to join the show. What's the latest with UVA basketball? I know they had a successful exhibition against Villanova.
Successful in terms that it happened. You know,
Villanova spanked VCU, so let me just say that.
Yeah, they did. They did, and I think Villanova was missing a few guys, but I thought Virginia looked pretty good. They're going to open the season against Rider on Monday, so we'll be looking forward to that. But, I think Virginia looks pretty good. It's going to be kind of a process to get them running up to speed in Ryan Odom's offense and the system there, so first couple weeks, don't be surprised if there's some interesting results, but, you know, that's why you play Rider and not Villanova.
Preston Willett is a writer for the Saber and host of Who's On the Podcast. Tell our audience a little bit about your podcast.
Yeah, man, we are we have two podcasts a week. Let me get the right terms out there. Two podcasts a week. We just did one for football. We just released our men's basketball season preview, so you can go over there. We're on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and I also got a second basketball podcast coming out tomorrow. We talked with ESPN's Terrence Oglesby, kind of previewing the ACC basketball season. So lots of good stuff. Busy time of year, as you know. It's the crossover season.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us, Preston. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the New Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Commanders. The pro football team can be heard right here at 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We're going to head out to the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Joining us right now, Commanders beat reporter for the Washington Post, Tashawn Reed. What's going on, man?
Not much. It's another week, another Jaden Daniels injury watch, right?
So. Yeah. I mean,
get some word on quarterback.
Is there any update that you can give us? And if not, when do you expect an update?
We should get one this afternoon. The team is practicing a little bit later than they usually do on Wednesday. But, you know, Coach Dan Quinn will talk before practice, then we'll see if he's out there at practice and if he does.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Daniels will talk afterwards. So, you know, he suffered that hamstring injury against the Cowboys a couple weeks ago, kept him out last week. You know, the team was pretty cautious with him. You know, he's coming back from that knee sprain earlier in the year, and I imagine they'll be the same. But, you know, hamstring is one of those tricky injuries. You kind of just have to see how it responds. And so, I don't think they're playing coy or anything like that. I think they just genuinely want to see how it responds and then practice before they make any definitive statements about it.
Yeah, the timing of everything might be boring to my audience, but to me, I'm really interested. So they played Monday night. They get home Tuesday, like probably 3, 4 a.m. And so today's practice, like in a normal week, it would have been like, what, 11:30 or something? When are they supposed to take the field?
Practice, I think it starts around 3:30. Dan Quinn talks at 3:15, so it should get going about 3:30, 3:40. It'll be a shorter practice than normal, partly because of that sequencing you mentioned. More of a walkthrough type of pace today than usual. So going to let the guys acclimate and adjust. And, you know, that's part of why they push the time back, you know. So, you know, not you know, something that many teams have to deal with, not unique to them, but they're definitely making some adjustments for it.
So, Tashaun Reed with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. And, you know, we had you on the show last time, and I told you how much of a fan of this team I am, and I kind of feel like I'm speaking for the fan base all the time when I talk about the Commanders. But unlike a lot of fans, I saw positives in that game. I came away optimistic because they put it together for a half. Now, the question is, can they pull it together for four full quarters for a full game, even though they have yet to really do that this season? What were some of the positives you saw on Monday night?
Yeah, I think for the defense, you saw them create turnovers, which has really been an issue this year. You know, they went with the, you know, revamped defensive front, you know, more of a five-man front with Frankie Louvu primarily playing as an edge rusher, and Jordan McGee, you know, filling in the inside linebacker, his space, and Tyler Owens also working in that safety. And so they had, you know, mentioned that they're going to, in addition to paring down the scheme, make some schematic changes and personnel adjustments, and we saw that. And early on, it works. You know, I think they were defending the run well. They were rushing the passer pretty well, which helped the secondary hold up. You know, and that was kind of the script that you wanted to see. The issue was the offense couldn't capitalize. You know, they had those opportunities against the Chiefs to take an early lead, and instead it was a tie game, you know, at halftime. And eventually Patrick Mahomes and those guys are going to get rolling, and the defensive, you know, mismatch really that was, given their personnel issues and all the injuries, was going to show through. But, you know, it was, like you said, encouraging to see them, you know, have that success early on. It's a question of, you know, can they really sustain it for four quarters? I'm not sure. But maybe they don't have to with the offense, you know, capitalize on some of those opportunities. If the defense starts breaking down later on, it wouldn't be as big of a deal where it becomes a lopsided game. But it has to be complimentary football. You know what I mean? Like, they showed some defensive progress, but the offense was really disappointing. You know, they moved the ball well, but once they got in the Chiefs territory, they really just couldn't do anything with it in terms of finishing drives. So they have to still put it all together, but at least defensively, you saw some flashes of improvement.
Yeah, it just feels like this team is lacking the touchdown play. Like, you know, maybe it's because Jay Daniels is not there and Terry McLaurin missed training camp. But, like, last year, they got to the red zone, they found Ertz, right? Or they'd get the 40-yard pass to Terry McLaurin. And I know they got one of those with 11 points. But I think a big part of the offensive struggles, it starts with the rushing attack. It doesn't matter who's playing quarterback. It's the rushing attack. What have you seen from the offensive line and the running backs that have led to a step back in the rushing attack?
Yes, it's been a mix of things. With the quarterback injury and receiver injuries, I think opposing defenses have been more willing to load the box, you know, bring an extra safety down, play more man coverage, and basically dare the Commanders' receivers to beat them. And that's been a winning bet, you know, the last 3 weeks. And then also, you know, I think the offensive line has been, you know, still been run blocking well, but I think they haven't been giving them as many opportunities to run the ball as they should. You know, I mean, it's been one of the most efficient rushing attacks in the league. But those attempts, you know, have been really inconsistent. Can't really pin a reason down, you know, for why. But I mean, you know, Marcus Mariota had more rushing attempts than any other running back, you know, last game. And I just don't think that should be the case, particularly when they've been as adept at running the ball as they have been from a macro sense this season. And so I think they could benefit from a greater commitment to the run game from a play calling standpoint, but also there's just a factor there of, like, you need JD back, right? You know, not just, you know, for how he opens up the pass game, but what he does as a runner, and then your receiver injuries. Like, if you don't have threats that teams have to worry about, why wouldn't they sell out on the run, you know? So it's a mix of factors there, but it's definitely been one of the biggest issues the team has faced during this three-game losing streak.
Tashaun Reed with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. So I'm not going to hold you to these. I just want your personal opinion. Percentage chance that Terry McLaurin plays Sunday?
It sounded pretty 50-50 the way he was talking after the game. You know, he said he feels like he's going to take it day to day. You know, he's optimistic, but has to see how he responds. And I think part of that is, you know, I mean, he just went through this process the last 4 weeks and saw how up and down he kind of felt with this quad injury, and, you know, re-aggravating it, you know, you don't want to make it worse. You know, I would say 50-50. Like, he's going to try to give it a go, but if his body just doesn't respond, then they'll probably hold him out this week.
Jaden Daniels.
I would say 85%. I feel like Jaden plays.
Dude, I needed you to say that. You just made my day.
Yeah, that may be ambitious, but I think, you know, the way that they described it, a low grain hamstring strain doesn't sound that serious. They just wanted to err on the side of caution last week. He spent the entire week rehabbing. They said he had a good rehab session over the weekend. He was there at the game in sweats. I would be surprised, barring, you know, it's hamstring. So, again, all this is with the condition that there could be a setback. There always is a chance when you have a hamstring injury. But if there is not, and the injury doesn't get any worse, I think he's going to be out there on Sunday.
I love your optimism. Do you have any details about him making the trip? Because tell me if I'm wrong here. I didn't believe he made the trip when he was injured and missed games.
Yeah, they typically don't bring guys who are injured and not going to play. But I think because they wanted to get him a rehab session in on Sunday, I believe they said is when they did a rehab session with him. That's probably why he came, just to sort of see how he performed instead of just having him sit at home.
Defensively, the changes they made. We saw Luvu rushing the passer more. We saw Lattimore, I guess, moved more inside. I mean, at least that's where he had his interception. We saw McGee and we saw Owens. Which of those changes do you think worked? And are there any other changes you're expecting for this weekend?
I think they all collectively sort of worked in a way, right? I mean, I think Luvu sliding over to edge rusher kind of helps you bring some more pressure. And also, I do think, McGee at this stage is probably, a better, in terms of pass coverage, a better athlete and a better matchup for some of those, receivers and tight ends and running backs that he's going to end up with and from a coverage standpoint. I think the corners held up pretty well. I think most of those big plays that we saw was more of an issue with linebackers and safeties. I think at safety, it's kind of tough because, losing Will Harris, he's one of the best communicators on the team. That's who you expect him to be the starter, obviously. And basically you're filling in with guys that ideally are special teams contributors or maybe come in a dime package. But, now you have to have those guys play 40, 50 snaps. And I think there's going to be some breakdowns that come with that. But I think the defensive staff, Joe Witt and everybody else collectively, they're kind of making the most out of what they have. I know people don't want to hear that, and we point to coordinators when things aren't going well, but the personnel just, it's not that great right now, due to these injuries, and they kind of have to get creative and try to work around it, and I think that's something we're going to have to see continue throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah, safety is hard to evaluate because from just watching, Jeremy Reeves flashed over and over and over again. I thought he set the tone. He was the hard hitter. He was all over the field. But the safety play wasn't good enough. And from Quan Martin, it feels like it hasn't been good enough this season.
Yeah, Quan's been having some issues in coverage this year. And it's surprising because, he's typically much better than this. And then some of that, I'm sure is the pressure of not having Will Harris alongside him and the cornerback struggling. Those numbers always get skewed a bit because, if the corner gets beat badly and the safety is the one that's closest to it, it might get, he might get the one that gets tagged with the completion or whatever it is. But nonetheless, nobody in the secondary has really been playing well. I mean, the biggest bright spot has probably been Trey Amos, and even he has had his ups and downs as a rookie corner. So, that's really the Achilles heel of this defense. Even with these adjustments that they're making, I'm not sure that there's a solve to that. That's more of a personnel issue. That's not something that's necessarily going to get fixed by tweaking the scheme.
Deshaun, before we let you go, I'd love if you could clear something up for me and our audience here. So Dan Quinn talked about this a little bit yesterday, but it's still kind of confusing tuning into the press conference. So Zach Ertz is called short of the line of gain on fourth down. They did the virtual measurement, which everybody knows sucks. The chain game was so much fun for so many years. Bring it back. But the virtual measurement has him short. And then he said he would not have been allowed to challenge. But shouldn't the NFL then have looked at that? Do you know more about that play in particular?
It was basically treated like a scoring player in those situations. It's an automatic review. And so they're inherently reviewing the play in order to determine what the virtual measurement is. And so challenging would just be asking them to do what they did in order to come to that determination, if that makes sense. And so it's like, it's kind of in the same way, you can't challenge a
touchdown.
I don't know what a good comparison is, but that's it's like a touchdown. It's automatically reviewed, so they don't do it again, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's just, I don't think they got it right. You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of flipped the game. I mean, and I know Dan Quinn talked about it. The two fourth downs kind of lost us the game.
Yeah, I mean, like, the you know, that call and then the offense's play in general, just not being able to capitalize off those turnovers, like, that was it, you know. Yeah. And I've seen, you know, having covered the Raiders for years, like, I've seen that script play out a lot against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
You just can't do that against that team.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, man, I really appreciate the time. Thanks so much. That is Tashawn Reed from the Washington Post. Check out his work, WashingtonPost.com. Follow him on Twitter at Tashawn.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.